Father, in Jesus' name, receive our gifts, receive our tithes, receive our worship. Receive us, Lord. We give ourselves to you anew every day. Your mercy is new to us every day, and we receive that, and we thank you. We bless you. We give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you worship. We give you everything, and we know that everything we have to give, you gave to us first. And we thank you and praise you. Now bless these people. Bless them in their finances. Bless them in their prosperity. Bless them in their decision making. Give them unexpected surprises from you, financial and emotional and relationship. Oh, Father, thank you for blessing us. And we bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. One time my brother has his master's degree in Hebrew. Now, I'm not sure what you do with that when you get out of school. I guess you pastor or preach. And he told me, he said, that word bless the Lord, oh my soul. That word bless is a covenant word. And it means everything I have, I'm giving to the Lord. And it also means everything I am, I'm giving to the Lord. But the cool thing is, if you look in another scripture, God said he'd bless you, Deuteronomy 28. So he's saying everything he has, he's willing to give to you. And everything he is, he's willing to give to you. So I think we got the better end of the deal.
Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. And you know, the next verse in that psalm says, forget not.
Forget not.
You know why it says forget not? Because you could forget. It's possible to forget. So the psalmist David is reminding us, don't forget all of his benefits. Don't forget he heals you from every sickness and every disease. Don't forget his protection and his love. I'm going to open up for testimonies now. Anybody have a testimony or a prayer request? This is the time to share it. Oh, I don't even like to tell my own faults, but I'm so transparent, I always do. We went to visit some friends overnight Friday night in Oklahoma, and they have little dachshunds. And those dogs are on you like white on rice. I mean, those, they won't leave you alone. And I'm not really an animal person, so they come first to me. But they're cute as they can be, and it's all good. But they live in the house, and so she was trying to protect us. And she put a little child's gate up at the door so they wouldn't come into our bedroom and try to sleep with us or wake us up. I don't think I could deal with either one of those. And so I happened to get up before John, and I wanted to get a drink of water. So I'm going into the kitchen, and I thought I could just step over this. And I did. I stepped over with one foot. But the other foot, I caught my foot on that gate, and me and the gate went crashing down. I thought it woke the city. It didn't even wake John in the next room. So I hobbled, you know, you feel so, I don't know how you would feel, but I felt pretty stupid. Why didn't I just move the gate? Next time I will. But anyway, at my knee and my leg, they got so swollen I could hardly move them. Every time I went from straight leg to bent leg, oh, my knee, my thigh, I've got some bruises several places, but I'm not showing them. And you're
thank
welcome.
You.
But I just want to thank God, because he's taught us and taught us and taught us. Where do we go first? We go to God. And I just began to say, thank you. Thank you for you knew it was going to happen. You knew that I would do this silly thing. And thank you for protecting me. And so then we got in the car shortly after and rode 4 hours home, which my leg didn't have a chance to stay in motion because I'm sitting down, right? And I tried to wiggle my toes and move my leg back and forth. And by the time we got home, I was not walking very well at all. And some precious friends of ours had invited us to a special evening. I said, I'm going. And so I hobbled over there and went and enjoyed myself thoroughly. But by the time I got home, my leg was really swollen. And, of course, they prayed for us, and that helped a lot. I could just feel the power of God going into the thigh part of my leg. But, boy, my knee, it started throbbing. I thought I should have had them pray for my knee. But got in the bed and got up this morning about 5, and I said, I don't think I'm going to church. I can barely get around. And I haven't missed a church in a long time. Feel good to stay in the bed. But you know, the Lord didn't have that idea. He said, look, if you're going to be a testimony, you got to go and be a testimony. So here's just me walking. Not quite perfect yet, but better than leaning on John for every step. Thank you, Jesus. So I just want to praise the Lord. You know, he could have said, this was your mistake and you got to live with it. But he didn't say that. He said, come on, baby. I am a baby. Come on, baby, I'll help you. And he has, and he is continuing. So every minute that goes by, I can walk better. I put more weight on it. I can bend it better. So thank you, yes. Jesus, for healing.
Thank
Amen.
Because
even if I went to the doctor, what are they going to say? How did you do this and why? And there's nothing we can do. They probably say that. Here, take these pills or something. So I'm grateful for Dr. Jesus. I'm not against going to the doctor if I thought they'd help. But first, I'm going to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you ready for the word?
Yes.
I have a peek at what John's going to say, and it's going to be really good.
Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. Let's all put our hands toward it right now, okay? Father, we thank you. Jesus took stripes on his back to purchase our healing, purchase our miracles. Then you gave that to us, and now we, in his name, we receive total healing, pain gone, and the remembrance of pain gone right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, sir, and we praise you because we know you love Elizabeth because you sent Jesus. So therefore, the power and the gift is working now by faith in that name right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, darling.
I receive it.
It's so wonderful because I didn't find this out until I was getting ready to come home. So I didn't pray anything, but when she told me, do I need to help? You got it. You know what I said, on the plop. Yeah. There you go. See, I told you. And so, you know, this is what I'm talking about. Why we are so dedicated in talking about the Word of God, because that is what brings healing to our lives. And so many pressures to you, like Elizabeth says to me, you won't know that you can get hold of God. Your spouse or your children or your grandchildren or your great, when they're sick, you won't know that you can get a hold of him and get an answer. Amen. That's why we study the Word and preach the Word, because our promises, there's over 2,000 promises in the New Testament alone. And Brother Fred, we think that God answers prayer promises or not. Because the Bible says the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. So every promise of God will say, you ask me, the answer is yes. Praise God. Because I got his word confirming that. Amen. Last week, we started teaching, and we're going to carry on with this week. I'd like to go back through it some, and then we go further. In a great house, and we talked about the great house is the church of Jesus Christ. And it's a great, the house of, or the church of Jesus is great because he's the head of it. He's the master. He's the king of it. So this is a great house. Some people think it's because of the number of Christians. No, the greatness is because of the master of the house. Jesus is great. And then this is, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and vessels of silver, and but also wood, hay, and some but to honor, some dishonor. Now, I know all of you love Jesus and appreciate what he's done for you. And so you don't want to dishonor him in any way. So we got to choose to honor him. We got to choose to be a vessel of gold or a vessel of silver. That isn't our choice. We can choose to serve the Lord or we can reject him. We can choose to be blessed by him or we will reject his blessing. It's amazing to me how many Christians are people that have accepted Jesus Christ, which means they have chosen life and rejected death. But there's so many people reject life because they reject Jesus and they receive death. That's the two options they have. There's another option. Now we know in the world there's a lot of religion. Please forgive me. There's a lot of other religions in the world that try to give you another option. But God didn't grant them that option. They have not, from God the Father, the Creator, they do not have that option. Jesus is the only option. He's the only way. He's the only choice that God will accept. I apologize that they have been deceived, and the person that started religion, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes right now, because they're leading people away from Jesus instead of to Jesus. Amen. And the Bible's real clear. You either cursing me or you either honoring me, you know. Talking about God. Now let's go forward, hon. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter. Now, I really emphasize this, but being cleansed of the Lord takes your choice. It's not going to happen by accident. It happens because you choose it. It is God's will that you have your mind renewed. Amen? And you daily seek that renewing process that God had planned for you. And God don't plan it every day. He has planned it for every day. Do you see the difference? He doesn't get up. When you get up in the morning, he says, oh, wait a minute, John. I got to figure out what I want to do with you today. No, he decided that before the foundation of the world. He already has a plan for you and me. Our job is to seek that plan, or seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, correct? So we see here, by choosing to be cleansed of the Lord, it is a vessel of honor. To honor God, you must choose to be washed and clean by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That blood will cleanse you. Now, if we want to get into the spiritual laws or the law of Christ, then you get into the fact, the reason why it cleanses you, because we're in covenant with the living God. And that covenant was ratified or instigated or started or put into activity or put available by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. It made that covenant available. And when you chose Jesus, you chose that covenant. Now, the covenant is... the covenant between God is similar to that of marriage. Amen? Except there's no bad in it. no problems in it. It's perfect. And if you learn how to operate in the covenant with God, you will be blessed forever. Amen. Now, look at the vessel on. Now, look at the next word, sanctified. Now, the word sanctified is, it seems like it's a big word, but it really means I'm set apart for God's work. I set myself apart from the world. And now I'm in the kingdom of God, and my focus, my first love is to serve him and do what he wants me to do. Even though he may not like me or may be against some religion or whatever, I'm going to serve him because I love him more than I do being a center of attention. Amen. Amen. Now, it says, look at this, people. If I ask you, don't you want to do something for the Lord? You say, yes, because he's done so much for me. I want to do what I can do to be useful for him. Look at this. A vessel of honor, once set apart, can be useful for the master. So there is a place that you can walk in, which you will be useful or can be used by the Master in his endeavor to bring this world to life, bring this world to salvation, bring this world to eternal life. Prepare for every work. So God's got to prepare you so you can do a work for him. Amen? So you can be useful. And so many people, and I've heard this a lot in me maturing in God, people say, well, you know how good I play that piano. God can use me. No, he can't. Until you submit a talent to God, he can't use it. Because you're on it, not him. But when you submit it to him, he's on it. Then that can help people. And same thing, but he called me to teach the word of God. But I had to submit that calling to him before it can help you. See, if I just gain knowledge of the Bible, Apostle Paul wrote that, knowledge puffs up. Or people get knowledge and they get prideful. Well, I know more than a pastor. You probably do. But God didn't call me on based on what I know. He called me because he chose to. I mean, you got to understand, you know, I'm just a little country boy raised in the country. Hauled hay, hauled watermelons, and you hauled cotton. I didn't pick no cotton, though. But I did haul it. And drive a tractor on the farm, have a good time. We, you know, overhaul the equipment and rebuild tractor motors, and we rebuild the baler and the hay rakes and the hay cutter. You know, I'm just a country boy. But hey, I got to choose. I want to be satisfied being a country boy or find out who I am in the kingdom of God. But I like doing that, but my greatest love, I like computers. And I said, well, this is sound funny, but Blue Cross and Blue Shield, State Farm, Texas Utilities, all those companies wanted me to come work for them. Because what? It's a God-given talent. And I had to come to the place to acknowledge, hey, John, you just think you're good. You know why? Because God gave it to you. And I had to submit that to him and to his work in his kingdom. Then it became good. Do you hear that? A lot of you have talents that God gave you from birth. For it to be a vessel of honor, you have to submit it for cleansing. Cleanse that pride out of it. Amen? And Elizabeth, a humble lady, and she has got so many talents. You couldn't know all the talents she has. I'm just a blessed guy. You're a marvelous, marvelous lady, and yet she has to humble herself, amen, and does. It's just amazing me at the humility. But the point is, she decided, I've got these talents, but I want to be sanctified so the Master can use these talents that he gave me for our purpose. So she has to humble herself under the mighty hand of God, and so she can be used by the Master. And each one of us have great talents. There's nobody in this room that don't have talents. Amen? Every one of you have talents. And those have to be submitted. I'm talking about naturally. Those have to be submitted so they can be useful to the Master. See, I don't have these computer talents just so I can earn a good living. I was given these talents so I could be useful for the Master. So I had to submit those to the Master so he can use them. So if I have them, I say, look, Jesus, I got all these talents. Man, you have something you want me to do? You ask me, and I'll choose whether I do it or not. No. There's a lot of people that way, you know. Unless the pastor pests me, tells me how great I am, calls me to the front of the church, I'll just sit there and do nothing. You're not being useful for the pastor. You're being useful for your master. Amen? See, and that's where the humility comes in. Jesus chose you to submit to a person that is not perfect. It's easy to submit to him. He's perfect. Right? Oh, you're not shouting. Wake up, Brother Fred. He wears a sunglasses, so he thinks I can't see his eyes. But I'm like Superman. I got that beat. So will we allow Jesus to set us apart from the life we chose to the life he chose for us and prepare us and cleanse us so we can be useful for him, because he has a good work for everyone. He has work in the kingdom of God. Now, that's different than me working in the world in the kingdom of God. What I do in the kingdom of God will live forever. Come on, it will live. So I don't want to live 120 years in this world, and when I get to heaven, it's all burned up because of hay and wood. Right? I want some gold and silver. So you know why I want some gold and silver? I can walk up, Jesus, this is what I did for you because I love you. Amen? Amen? I don't want to go up and, well, I did a bunch of things, but you burned it up. Yeah, because it's not worthy to come into the kingdom. He's not going to let the work you did for yourself are not going to make it to heaven. They're going to be burned up because they're not worthy to be there. Amen? So we want your work to be separated so God can take them and write them down in heaven so they'll be there forever. That ought to be a beginning. Amen? Let's go further. Look at this. Flee also from youthful lust. But what? We used to have what we call coon dogs. And they hunt squirrel, coons, and they would hunt, there's special little coon dogs, so they hunt coons. And they hunt squirrels, no rabbits. There was a dog they had called Beagle. They were especially for rabbits, but we didn't have those. We were real special. I'm kidding. And forgot my point. Pursue, that's right. So we'd load those dogs up in the truck and take them over into the woods, and we'd say, call them by name to them, go. And they'd be a little bit, you hear them bark. Because they picked up a trail of one of the animals, and they were pursuing the animal. And when they'd get close, that coon would run up a tree. Now, because us boys were the youngest, you know who climbed those trees tonight? We did. Now, and we would, we were responsible for kicking that coon out of the tree. Well, you know, he knew he was off the ground. He didn't want to leave that tree. But it didn't matter. So we'd have a stick or kick him or something out of that tree when they hit the ground. The point I was making, those dogs knew their job was to pursue that coon. But my point is, I want to bring up, that's, we are made to pursue righteousness. We are made to pursue faith and love and peace. Now, some people, they pursue contentious. Another word. Give me another word. Contentious. They always want to cause arguments. They always want to cause problems. You are not fulfilling your calling if you're doing that. And if you're pursuing to have your way, have things done your way, guess what? You're not pursuing righteousness. Amen? To be right in the kingdom of God, we pursue love. There's sometimes you want to knock me on the head, but God says pursue love. And that same thing, Brother Fitz, sometimes I want to knock you on the shoulder. No, I'm kidding, making things up. But my point, we're a family, and we're all different, and we're not perfect yet. And we can do things to upset each other. but we're to love and forgive and say, God, pastor needs some help. And he says, I know, that's why I sent Jesus. You know, real quiet on me, no amen. But see, this is family life here. You know, this is family. So we want to please each other all the time. And what happens when we make a mistake? We need your forgiveness, everybody. I mean, sometimes, during the work, the devil knows I'm going to bring word and do my best to submit to God and allow God to teach you so you can bring the defeat of Jesus did on the devil. Jesus defeated the devil. But you've got to apply it to your life before he comes defeated in your life. You got to apply that victory that Jesus gave you. You got to apply that. Amen? And so, as we're doing that, we got things that got to be changed. Or as we read earlier in Scripture, there's things that we got to be separate from. Like I shared with you before, years and years ago, I had a real bad temper. I mean, I'd get mad. I wouldn't hit anybody, but I'd get so mad, I'd knock a hole through a door or jerk the door off the wall or something like that. I mean, it was more than just anger. It was the wrath. Yes, I had that. So I had to be cleansed of that. And that wasn't easy. I had to die to a lot of things because I was a little bit country boy and they called me all kinds of names. I want to stand up now. 145 pounds of me. Yeah. But the point is, I had things I had to pursue the righteousness of God and be cleansed so I could be a vessel of gold and separated for the master's use. He couldn't use me with that pride. He couldn't use me with that anger. So the calling that I had, show you the pride. When I first started studying the Word, the Scriptures and Revelation just jumped on the page. And I thought I was special. You've been pastoring for 40 years, and you don't see a simple thing like this? What's wrong with you? See, that kind of attitude had to be cleansed out of me. He couldn't let me pass our church with that kind of attitude because I passed that on to you. And he ain't going to handle that because you're his love. He loves me too. Amen. And so, like I told him, look, you chose me the pastor. I didn't choose you to pastor me. I mean, pastor as a pastor. I didn't seek you to make me a pastor. You chose me. And he said, you have things to learn. And when you realize, allow me to teach you, you're going to follow your place and repent. See, I got information of the Bible, and I allowed the knowledge to puff me up. So that thing had to die. Pride was introduced by the devil, not God. Again, point, there must be a cleansing going on in our lives so we can be prepared for the master's use. That's why we, as people mature, they get more and more assignments from heaven because they're being cleansed and the master can use you. Amen? Okay. Understand this. In the last days, perilous times become of great stress, trouble, hard to deal with hard to bear. And we have a lot of that. Go ahead. We have a lot of that going. Look at this. For people who be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. Amen. And lovers of money and aroused by incarnated greed, desire for wealth, proud and arrogant. And contemptuous boasters. When I was growing up, even a person wasn't saved or they're drunkard or alcoholic, they would not talk against the church. And you could not see a thief going to church. They didn't go in there. They had a reverence or a fear of doing that. But later on in my life, they'd go in there and rip a church up and destroy it, everything. They have no fear of God. That's because that's the last day spirit. They'll tear your car up, they'll tear your house up, they'll steal from you, because in that spirit of the last days, amen? And so we got to realize what we are dealing with, and so we can have ourselves prepared. That spirit is always trying to entice us to get angry or seek the wealth or seek something that is of the world instead of seeking righteousness and seeking first the kingdom of God. Let's go forward, hon. Although they hold a form of piety to religion, they deny and reject are strangers to the power. See, those churches and that believe that Jesus came and born of a virgin, he was crucified and buried, but they deny the power. Yet one of the things that God did when Jesus defeated sin and death and raised him back up was induce the power of his power back into mankind through his son's name, Jesus Christ. And in the new covenant that God the Father and Lord Jesus made, the power is available to mankind through that new covenant. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The power of God came down to heaven back to mankind. Then you must first be born again, born of heaven, born from above of God. Then you can take and receive the Holy Spirit and empower you again for the power that God intended to use. Now, just like anything else, he's a good parent. He don't give you the power and just release it so you can destroy the world. That power made this world, and that power can destroy it. So he has to put in you a governor that governs the power. Amen? And that's how you shall receive the Holy Spirit, and he's the governor. He governs the power. So as you mature and you're more set apart for the work of God, the work of the Master, he releases more and more power. Or we have to learn to speak God's ways and God's word so he can be the words of power. Amen. And honey, I gotta let you have some time. And I still got three more, actually four more scriptures in Jesus' name.
You're healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
You stay right there.
Amen. Well, praise God. So, what did we learn this morning? That we're chosen, that we are sanctified. You know that word, the Latin word for blood, is something like sanctos, S-A-N. And so that's what that sanctified. We're set apart by the blood of Jesus. That's what makes us set apart. And the Lord was dealing with me. I had the Juliana's boys this week for spring break. And he said, tell them we don't do that. You know, they start fighting among themselves, arguing. I said, no, in our family, we don't do that. We don't do things that way. We don't do it this way. What am I trying to say? We're set apart. We're different. Can't be like everybody else in the world. You are set apart for a reason, for the Master's use, and for every good work.
Amen.
Let's pray. Hallelujah. We want to bless you today. We want this week to be the best week you've had. And we want you to be free from accidents, free from sickness, free from discouragement, free from trouble. Amen. And when trouble comes, we want you to stand up and say, go from me. In Jesus' name. So, Father, bless these people this week. Bless them with your power, with your strength, with your love, with your comfort. Father, show them you're real this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Jesus loves you.
Yes, he does.